Sinds begin 50er jaren is Tibet van grote aantrekkingskracht geweest voor filmmakers. Henry Gow was een van de eerste westerlingen die filmbeelden vastlegde van de Dalai Lama en de cultuur van Tibet. Later werd Tibet door Hollywood ontdekt. Het verhaal van Henry Gow werd vastgelegd in de film van Jean-Jacques Annaud, Seven Years in Tibet, met Brad Pitt in de hoofdrol. Bertolucci maakte Little Buddha. En Martin Scorsese maakte het levensverhaal van de Dalai Lama Kundun. Na de golf van Hollywoodfilms over Tibet ontstond er een nieuwe categorie van speelfilms. Deze keer niet gemaakt door westerlingen, maar door mensen die zelf uit de Tibetaanse cultuur afkomstig waren. Een van deze jonge Tibetanen is Nathan Shirling Rinpoche. Hij is abt van een klooster in India. Zijn speelfilmdebuut is gebaseerd op het levensverhaal van de Tibetaanse yogi Milarepa.
Milarepa is that one of the greatest yogi in Tibet, and text him in 11th century. Of course, there's so many yogis in Tibet, but Milarepa is one of the all the schools they respect. It's like almost like non-sectarians that everybody respects. He born into a really rich family, mm-hmm. and when he was 7 years old, his father is passed away. And before his father is passed away, and he father tell his uncle and auntie that please take care of my son and the daughter and the wife until my son is become big, and then he can take care of himself. And then he passed away, and then after that, uncle and auntie took over everything, their wealth, and they never give it back. And on top of that, they make them like a slave, and they work for uncle and auntie for day and night, and you know, life has become so miserable. And then Milarepa has become like 17, 18 years old, and then mother asked uncle and auntie to give back their wealth because now my son is grow up, he can take care of himself. Then mother is very upset, and then mother really wants revenge. And then mother sent his son to learn sorcery. This is the only way to they can take the revenge, otherwise they don't have any no other way to take revenge. So he sent him to learn the sorcery, bulk magic, and then son went, he went to learn bulk magic, and then he learned sorcery. And then he killed 35 people, all the uncle's son, and also uncle's wife, and uncle's son's wife, and everything. So then he took the revenge, and then he thought he solved all the problems. He thought he's going to be really happy. Then he realized that it's actually he make more enemies because of all the people, all the villagers, they become really angry, and they all become his enemy. So then he realized that this is not the right way. and then he really wants something else in different paths. Then he found the spiritual path. In these days, everybody, you know, killing each other and making war and taking a revenge. So Melarepa also does the same thing, and he takes the revenge, he kills lots of people. Difference is that he realized in the end that revenge is not good, is not the solution to the solving problems. It's not a solution to solving problems. So I think that's why people can relate it to their situation in these days. And I think it's really helpful for them. Then he achieved the enlightenment in one lifetime. So that is very, very inspiring for everybody, I think. Inspiring for normal people because of the everybody does the mistake. And even though you does the mistake, still you can change into a better person. You have the hope. It gives hope for everybody.
Filmmakers Ritu Sarin uit India en haar Tibetaanse partner Tenzin Sonam produceerden eerder talloze documentaires over Tibetaanse cultuur. Hun eerste speelfilm Dreaming Lhasa is een eigentijdse weergave van jonge Tibetanen die in ballingschap opgegroeid zijn, die op zoek zijn naar hun culturele identiteit.
What we tried to do in Dreaming Lhasa is we tried to have characters that were very real, and so we have a character called Jigme, who's a young musician in Dharamsala, and you know, he's there kind of partying and playing music and smoking dope, very much like the young people in Dharamsala do. And this is something we normally wouldn't see of Tibetans. You know, they don't do that kind of stuff. I mean, they're very, very holy, right? So we have our characters that we've shown in our film are alternate characters that I think haven't been seen in the Tibetan cinema or in foreign cinema about Tibet. The thing with Karma is that she is American, but you know, of Tibetan origin, and she's confused about her identity, so she's very much searching for her roots. And in the film, she sort of guides us into the film if we are a Western or an outside person, because she's an outsider. And through her eyes, you know, she has this relationship with Jigme, who's the local boy, but there's also Tundup, who's the man who's come from Tibet, who's the real Tibetan, you know. So the person from exile can't compare with the real Tibetan, because the real Tibetan has fought the Chinese and he had been a monk, and he has a mystery and a quality about him that's fascinating for her. So the you know, there's the conflict between the two, the ones who are from Tibet and the ones who are in exile.
In exile, Tibetans like us, you know, most of whom have never seen Tibet, for us, like, Tibet is, you know, on the one hand, we kind of think we're part of Tibet, but then on the other hand, when these Tibetans from Tibet come out, we can't relate to them.